The following resource is from lmpc.org and we're delighted to provide it freely to all. If you feel led to give towards the ministry of Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, we welcome you to do so at lmpc.org/give.
A reading from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
I add my welcome to Joe's. I'm Brian Salter, one of the pastors here. And this morning we look to God's Word as our hope, our comfort, our strength, Psalm 46, that psalm that Martin Luther framed the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." Let us pray that we would hear God and receive hope and comfort. Mighty fortress, we come and rest in you now. We come and sit underneath your word. We pray that your voice heard through the word of God would increase our hope, deepen our comfort, remove our fear, mobilize our service. We thank you for these words that are true and eternal. And we ask you now to come and speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Yes, in ways we've likely never listened before, but we're listening. So come, Lord, and speak to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. My wife and I have been watching The Crown of late. The story of Queen Elizabeth's reign. I was struck by a phrase in one of the episodes in season one where Elizabeth faces a tough decision. And if you know that period of time or that show, you'll know there is a man named Sir Tommy Lascelles. He was the private secretary to both King George VI and to Queen Elizabeth II. And Tommy was there to give advice to Queen Elizabeth. She didn't know what to do. She asked what people in the past had done. And so Tommy told her. But then he gave her this freedom with this phrase: different situation, different sovereign. When I heard that, I remember thinking, we as followers of Jesus Christ have much better hope than that phrase. Different situation, same sovereign. We've never faced a situation like this in our lives. It's different. It's scary. It's unnerving. Same sovereign. Historians suggested that the terrible plague of the second century, which might have killed off a quarter of the Roman Empire, led to the spread of Christianity, because Christians cared for the sick and served, knowing different situation, same sovereign. In 1527, less than 200 years after the Black Death killed about half the population of Europe, the plague reemerged in Martin Luther's own town of Wittenberg and in neighboring cities. Steady trust, sacrificial care among Christians spread. The refusal of Martin Luther to flee cost his daughter Elizabeth her life. Different situation, same sovereign. How do you keep from trembling when your whole world is falling apart, when evil seems strong enough to prevail? Is it even possible in those troubling moments to move away from fear towards faith and confidence? Psalm 46 says, yes, indeed. Same sovereign. The same sovereign ruler of Psalm 46 who calls for our anchoring trust and resounding confidence both then and now. I want you to see two things and then consider how to apply them. First, I want you to see in verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 46 that fear goes and confidence grows when we look to God's sure and secure presence. Fear goes and confidence grows when we look to God's sure and secure presence. I'm not sure we capture the full essence of this text because we don't live in that time frame with the imagery that would have applied to them at that time, but I want you to know that what is described in verses 2 and 3 is the greatest imaginable catastrophe at that time. The ancient understanding of the world was that the earth rested on the foundation of the mountains deep into the ocean. And so what is described here? Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, what is described there is the greatest catastrophe imaginable. It is the collapse of the world into watery chaos. It is the reversal of creation. There's not a situation that could have been more terrifying for people to hear in that context. Even more so, the waters in the Eastern worldview represented evil. After all, the Antichrist of the last days who opposes God and his people are symbolized as a beast arising from the sea in Daniel 7:3 and Revelation 13:1. The sea in that time was a symbol of evil. Think about God parting the sea in Exodus chapter 15, and the people respond in praise. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. It was an amazing adoration of a redemptive act by God that shows he is sovereign over chaos and evil. And then think of Jesus, who shows that same sovereign rule and power when he stands and says, "Peace be still," to what? The sea. You see, the waters were indicative of evil. The waters were indicative of chaos. In Revelation 21:1, what are we told? The sea was no more. That's imagery for all threats, all attempts to subvert the sovereignty of God's redemptive plan will be finished once and for all. And that's the context of verses 2 through 3. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. When the world is seemingly falling apart, facing the greatest catastrophe described in Psalm 46, what is the response? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. If the psalmist can tell us we shall not fear in the face of the greatest catastrophe imaginable. Surely that applies to us now, facing the coronavirus. Why is there no fear? Because God is a refuge. That means He's a safe place to run. He's a wonderful security in the midst of trouble. He's also an ever-present help, meaning He is always present. We have absolute assurance of His ever-presence. He is with us. Notice it is repeated in verse 7 and verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The Lord Almighty is with us. God is an ever-present help in trouble. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. That's why no fear. And oh, what clearer hope we have on the other side of the cross and resurrection. We know, as the Gospel of Matthew tells us, that when Jesus is introduced in Matthew, what is His name? Emmanuel, God with us. A promised name from Isaiah 7 that is not merely an indicator of His presence, but is an assurance of His defense in battle. It is a war name. And you can see the themes of God with us and hear the Lord Almighty, verse 7 and 11. Literally, the Lord of the heavenly army, the Lord of the host is with us. This is no sentimental presence. This is real presence of a victor warrior with us forever. His name is Jesus. And as He conquers evil on the cross and rises from the grave and meets His disciples before His ascension, what did He say to them? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How can you have fear go and confidence grow in the face of the most troubling catastrophe? Rest in His secure and sure presence. God is with us. John Patton was a missionary to cruel, cannibalizing, uncivilized nations of the islands of the South Pacific in the New Hebrides. John Patton believed that the antidote to fear was the assurance of the presence of the Lord. Just listen to some places in his life. Different situations, same sovereign. One evening, some missionaries gathered for prayer. One young man exited only to find fierce savages armed with clubs, killing stones, and muskets, determined to slay and eat the foreigners because they believed their God was responsible for their disease. The trauma of the event led to the giving away of the young man's mind. He died in 3 weeks. How did Patton survive? This is what he writes. During the crisis, I felt calm and firm of soul, standing strong with my whole weight on the promise. Lo, I am with you always. Precious promise. How often I adore Jesus for it and rejoice in it. Further in Patton's work, two parties were about to engage in war. Patton would run in between them and call them to desist. How was he able to face such perils? Amid savages, frenzied by hate, shrieking in blood, he writes, my faith enabled me to grasp and realize the promise, lo, I am with you always. In Jesus, I felt invulnerable. These were moments when I felt my Savior to be most truly and sensibly near, inspiring and empowering me. Those were the moments, different moments, save sovereign, same presence. On Patton's tomb is the text that infiltrated his heart. Lo, I'm with you always. The only reason we don't fear in the face of great catastrophe, God is with us. Our God, who is our Savior, the Lord Almighty, is with us. Where are you going for trouble, for security and surety in these days? come to the presence of God in and through Christ and rest in the refuge of Jesus. Church of Jesus Christ, we in this moment should say like John Patton, in Jesus, I feel invulnerable. No fear. Fear goes and confidence grows also in verses 4 through 7, not just looking to his sure presence, but when we look to the unshakable kingdom. I want you to notice in verse 4, the waters change. You move in this psalm from catastrophic waters to calm waters. He says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. What is being described here is the city of God, the unshakable kingdom of God, where there are conquered, calm waters. Who is there? God is within that city. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You see in verses 4 through 7 the picture that Yahweh has mastered the waters. Yahweh has mastered the chaos. Yahweh, our God, will master evil. He has done it. He will do it. We are presented in this picture of an unshakable city. The image of the God of Jacob is our fortress. Comes out of that scene of the royal city, the peaceful river flowing out of it, the imagery of the city as a fortress. In that day, an unshakable city was one that was on a mountain with thick walls, high in altitude, impenetrable, intimidating to every enemy. This language of fortress would have turned the eyes of the hearers away from the earthly cities that were threatening to fall down and to the heavenly city that's unshakable. Don't just fix your eyes in these days on what is happening in our earthly cities. Yes, we must pay attention. But we will only pay attention without fear if we also fix our eyes on the unshakable, eternal, heavenly kingdom of God, the fortress where the river flows. I want to point out as well here as we think about the kingdom and the city, that word, the Lord Almighty, in verses 7 and 11, is the God, the Lord of hosts. This is really a title that He is the commander-in-chief of the heavenly armies, our God, and the one who comes as divine warrior in flesh, Jesus, is the Lord of hosts. What brings this city such security? The Lord of hosts, Jesus, the head over the heavenly armies, is with you. The Lord Almighty is with us. I love the picture of verse 6. I believe this is where Martin Luther got the phrase, in a mighty fortress is our God, one little word shall fail him. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice, the earth melts. As we find ourselves in uproar and calamity, remember the power of our great God. Every evil, every rival that wants to threaten his rule but can't, lives under the reality, one little word shall fail you. When we look to the unshakable kingdom, when we rest in the sure and certain presence of God, fear goes, confidence grows. How does this look practically? How are you going to do this afternoon? How are you going to do this on Wednesday when you are getting cabin fever? When your kids are all at home? That may be the most unimaginable, greatest catastrophe. Just kidding. How are you going to do this when we get reports that cases are increasing in our city? How are you going to do this when you find out someone you know and love has it? I believe verses 8 through 11 tell us. First, verse 8, come and see. Verse 10, be still. Those are the instructions for no fear in catastrophe. Come and see, be still. What are we to see? The works of the Lord. Where do we see them? In the Word of God. In worship as we hear from God through His Word. Come and see the works of God. What are they? It says, the desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. What are we to see there? That sounds rather brutal. It's actually really peaceful because the war's over. Come and see what? The victor, Christ. The divine warrior who through His works secures and guarantees peace. It is coming, peace on earth, goodwill to men in whom, on whom His favor rests. In Jesus we have confidence that there is peace that cannot be taken away from us, because the scene is a battlefield where every weapon is thrown down and torn asunder. Come and see the decisive works of Jesus, the finished, sufficient work of our Savior. Come and see it in His Word. Rest on that, your precious treasure of greatest value than anything else, even your life itself. When you're drawn to fear, let Paul show you the warrior's work in his first coming when he says, he disarmed the powers and authorities, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. When you are drawn to fear, let John show you the warrior's work in his second coming in Revelation chapter 19. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. The armies of heaven are following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, and on his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come and see that. Come and see Jesus in His Word. That's how you will not fear. And then be still. Be still and know that I am God. I don't know if you notice in the poem, we go from third person to first person. It's as if the writer wants you to say, this now comes directly from God's voice. Be still. That is not mere quiet meditation and calm serenity. If it were, none of us likely will get it over the next weeks. It's not mere contemplation. Remember the context of war. It is the divine military commander coming to us and saying, attention, lay down your weapons. Trust me. Attention, don't get frantic, don't get frenetic. Lay down your weapons. be still. It doesn't mean don't be unconcerned. It doesn't mean don't be careful. It means as you are concerned and careful, be still. Rest. No fear. He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. Faith chases away fear, so that we can be concerned and careful with calm of heart from God. And that's what will mark Christians in this moment. Our calm as we're courageous. Our peace as we sacrifice. Our rest as we wait because of our God, our fortress, our refuge, our strength. When the cause of the Reformation seemed lost to Martin Luther, he would turn to his close friend and colleague, Philip Melanchthon, and say, "Philip, let's sing the 46th Psalm." Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, during these tumultuous times, let's sing the 46th Psalm. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Different situation, same sovereign. Let's pray. I ask for all of those in this body, all those who may be listening outside of our body, for our mountain and city, our world, teach us to come and see the works of the Lord. Teach us to be still and know that you are God. Make John Patton's statement that in Jesus I feel invulnerable, lead us to faith, no fear. And you'll have to do it for us moment after moment. When fear rises, Holy Spirit, remind us, come and see, be still. I'm with you. Different situation. Same sovereign, reigning God. In Jesus' name, amen.